Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is Mark Pascal, and I'm here with Francis Schott. We are the Restaurant Guys. We run Stage Left Restaurant in New Brunswick. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life.
And the finer things in life. I like that tagline so much. We're here today with, we have a kind of an overarching topic, which is careers in the restaurant business, careers in the food business, careers in the hospitality business, and the wine business. And we have a couple of professionals, kind of uber professionals today. We're going to be talking first with Chris Cree, who is a master of wine, which is one of the two, the MW degree and the MS degree are the two degrees that you can get letters after your name in the wine business that matter, not for making wine, but for actually selling and servicing and dealing with the community, and it's a pretty prestigious degree, and there are actually very few of those.
Actually, only 23 in the United States.
And then we are going to take the next half of the show, and we're going to talk to our friend John Fisher, who is a professor of service and wine up at the Culinary Institute of America in New York State. And so for the first segment of the show, we have on the line, I hope, Chris Cree, Master of Wine. Chris, are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
Are you the Master of Wine?
I am. I'm one of them.
You are? Well, in spirit of full disclosure, Mark and Chris and I are old friends. We go way back. We have drunk wine together in many countries around the world on many times and always had a good time doing it.
Absolutely.
And hopefully learned a thing or two.
We seem to find ourselves in the same circles over and over again.
Chris, let's get this out of the way. Why don't you plug your store, which is a pretty interesting thing, and tell us a little bit about it, because I think there's something to be learned in the very speaking of it.
Very good, yeah. We have a new store. It's in Bernardsville, New Jersey, called 56 Degree Wine.
Why would you call it that, Chris?
Imagine that. It's we looked at the proper temperature for storage of wines and felt that that was important enough that we would stake our name on it, and we liked 56 better than 58, I guess. not only that, but we focus really on just small artisan growers from all over the world.
Wow, that sounds familiar. Sounds like Mark and Francis.
It does sound a little familiar, doesn't it?
I think that's why we find ourselves in the same circle.
Right, you're in Verona walking down the street, not Verona, New Jersey. You're in Verona, in Italy, walking down the street. You're like, hey,
there was that one time at the White Castle.
Yeah, well, no. But we find ourselves in various countries saying, oh, look, it's Chris Cree again, turning up on the block. So 56 degrees, is your store kept at 56 degrees?
Yeah, we keep the whole store temperature and humidity controlled. Does that a little humidity?
Don't you get the sniffles once in a while?
It's cold. Yeah. We have jackets, though.
Do you give the jackets to your patrons?
We don't give them to them. I think a few have walked out with them, though.
Loan the jackets.
I loan them.
I think that's a prize to be had, to try and go scarf a 56 degrees jacket.
We have a couple spots at Stage Left where we have some private events, and we do the exact same thing where we keep it nice and cool for the wine. And our motto is, you'll be gone in a couple hours. The wine will still be here.
The wine lives here. We don't change the temperature.
That's absolutely right.
So how are you finding, just to talk about the most banal or the most surface things, how do you find that goes over with your patrons when they walk into a store that's, well, quite chilly?
You know, it depends. In the winter, it's warm in here. So.
Yeah, by comparison.
It can be a little bit of a shock if you come in on a hot summer day. But, you know, it's kind of interesting because people get it right when they walk in, and it gives us a little opportunity to talk about our philosophy and all the things behind that,
mm-hmm.
As far as why we keep it that temperature.
Certainly means is a clear indication that you take things pretty darn seriously. Let's talk about your degree, Chris, because I think that's really phenomenal. Now, there are how many Masters of Wine in America?
There are 23.
How many were there when you took your degree?
I was number 13.
Wow, that's not lucky. That's not lucky, but you seem to have done well with it. Tell us about the MW degree and what prompted you at a time when there were, when you started your studies, how many were there, like seven?
Well, no, actually, there were, when I started, there were 11, I believe.
Uh-huh.
I think only one or two passed in the time that Americans passed, anyway.
Uh-huh.
And there are about 247 in the world. And I was at a time, I had another wine shop. I was working there. Things were going reasonably well. I had some time on my hand. And so I decided I would, you know, throw myself into the fray and then give it a shot. And I had looked at it early in the 80s, but at that time the Institute was really only offering the courses in London. And you would have to work in the London wine trade and go through the certificate, diploma.
A little bit of a commute for you? You weren't quite ready to do that?
Exactly. Just at a time I couldn't do it. Then they went international. They decided to really expand the organization much beyond just the London market and the English market, and that was in the late 80s.
How long did it take you to get the MW, Chris?
Well, it took me 3 years, from 93 to 96,
uh-huh.
So 4 years, really, from start to finish. But if you think about it, I mean, you sort of bring all of that experience and knowledge that I learned since I got into the business in 1979 was definitely necessary
yeah.
to pass the exam.
There's
they
a
don't
lot
really
to know.
Teach you what you need to know to be a master of wine in the courses. They really teach you what the exam is about and the depth and breadth of what's covered on the syllabus.
Well,
although you do learn a lot at the
I have
course.
To say, when you're pursuing a degree that there are only 23 of in America, that would be...
Who's the teacher? Who teaches you?
It's taught by the other master. I mean, the
exactly.
exams are given by the other masters, isn't that right?
Exactly. And the courses, there's the first year course, they call it, is just 1 week, and the second year course is just 1 week. So you do learn a lot, and it really it gives you a new way of looking at wine, I would say. But the emphasis of the course is to identify either your weaknesses, strengths, and get you familiar with, again, the syllabus, the depth and breadth of knowledge. And then, you know, after the first week, you either come back and do year two the next year and then go on to the exam, or you take a couple years off, or you do year one again. But it's not there to teach you everything you need.
Well, and the idea is it's not like you're going to university for that many years to learn about wine. It's
exactly.
about achieving the master status, you know.
Right.
And to get a Master of Wine degree today, do you need to write a thesis or anything like that?
Yeah, the dissertation is the third part. There's the practical, which is the blind tasting.
Yeah.
And then there's the theoretical, which is the essay questions. And then... and that takes place over 4 days. And then the dissertation is now the last part. After you pass the tasting and the theoretical part, you then sit for you do the dissertation.
And you defend the dissertation? Or?
No. And actually, they've changed it a little bit since I took it. When I passed the dissertation, it was the first year it was required. And again, their emphasis was trying to bring this more in line with traditional master's level programs from universities.
Uh-huh.
And at the time I did it, they did it first. You actually took it. You could... do your dissertation simultaneously while studying and preparing for the exam.
Uh-huh.
And now they do it only, they only allow candidates who have passed both other sections to
wow.
submit a dissertation.
That's a pretty serious commitment of time you've put in there. It's pretty extraordinary.
It really is. I mean, I'm, you know.
I'm glad you're my friend. Can I tell everyone you're my friend? you're one of so few, and how many masters are there in New Jersey? Are you the only one?
I'm the only one in New Jersey.
Like Tigger, you're the only one.
I'm the only one.
How's it helped you? I mean, how does it come in handy? I mean, other than the fact that, you know, you make us play that song every time you come into the restaurant,
right.
Hail to the Chief. But other than that, how does it,
you know, I think like any high-level degree or any achievement that you earn, such as a diploma or, you know, from graduation, whether it's college or, you know, it gives you credentials. It gives you mm-hmm. something that's recognizable in the trade and outside of it. And then it's up to you, I guess, what you do with it from that point on. But it certainly has helped. I mean, it opens lots of doors. People, you know, I don't think there's a huge, huge awareness of it across, you know, in the U.S. I mean, if you go to Britain or Australia, it's people really understand what it's about.
Does it impress chicks?
I think wine. Don't you think wine impresses? I don't know.
It depends on the chick. we're here talking with Chris Cree from 56 Degrees, the only master of wine in New Jersey. This is Mark Pascal, and I'm with Francis Schott, and we are the restaurant guys talking to you from Central Jersey 1450. And the Central Jersey 1450 time is 11:15. We're back on 1450 AM. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys with Mark Pascal and Francis Schott. And today's guest is Chris Cree from liquor store 56 Degrees. And
master
also
of wine.
The master of wine. What a great title. That's absolutely the best title in the whole world.
Yeah, but it's actually a real title. He gets to put letters after his name.
Yeah, you get to throw the letters around. And
that's really cool, man.
People have to bow down. No.
I was going to put MU, Master of the Universe,
right,
after my name.
Right, yeah.
Just see if that would fly. If I'm the first one, though, don't they automatically have to give me the title?
All right, well, as much as I've enjoyed the ridiculous banter so far, Chris, a serious question. For young people today, I mean, when you went into this, now there's the other degree program, which is the Master Sommelier degree.
Right.
And how many Master Sommeliers are there, do you know?
I don't know, I have to say.
Note to self, get a different guest.
Significantly right? more.
But there are more Master Sommeliers.
There are more, I think.
But
not a lot more.
They're both very rare and very respected degrees.
Very prestigious degrees.
What do you think is the difference between the MS degree and the MW degree?
Right. I would agree, both high-level degrees, top-level, in the wine trade, I think, other than perhaps if you're going to be an enologist or a...
But if you're going to make wine,
yeah,
is
a very specific degree. But the Master of Wine, I think, looks more broadly at the production, the sale, the marketing, sort of the business of wine, from
mm-hmm.
grapevine, from planting vineyard to getting it to the shelves of wherever it's found, or to the consumer, including the social issues, the... and again, the business, finance, shipping, regulatory, and all that kind of stuff that goes along with the wine business. Whereas the master sommelier, I think, focuses on the end game there is on the service of wine in the service environment. And we have common areas of study, obviously, a lot of the same blind tasting techniques, a lot of the same knowledge about wine, wine regions, wine production are similar to both. But I would say that's the difference, service on one side and sort of the business of wine on the other.
Well, one of the great things about our job, I mean, we run Stage Left Restaurant in downtown New Brunswick. We also do a lot of consulting, especially on wine for other restaurants and the like. And one of the greatest pleasures for us is that we have, in the 12 years we've been open, encountered a lot of people at 18 or 19 years old. And we hire a lot of people without experience. So if you know an intelligent, hardworking young person who wants to break into the restaurant industry, send them to stageleft.com and have them fill out an application. But so we tend to have our employees with us for a number of years, and a few of them have gone on to pursue careers in the restaurant business and the wine business. And it's great to have so many people you meet at 19 and that remain your friends when they're 27, 28 years old. What advice do you give to young people who decide to pursue a career in wine? I mean, do you suggest they pursue a degree? Do you think the landscape has changed where that's necessary?
I think that you can only be well served by learning as much as you can. In whatever field you pursue, whether it's the wine business or something else. So I definitely encourage, and I go through the same thing. I get young people that come in or that want to learn about wine and perhaps get into the career, but I definitely encourage formal classes, whether it's the certificate, higher certificate, but start someplace. But I also think that if you're really going to do it, you've got to taste, you've got to read, you've got to do a lot on your own and travel. So it's not really a bad recipe. Travel to wine country is fun, but I think it's essential.
Yeah,
if you're really going to get a rounded background and work in, if you can, in different aspects of the business and get a feel for, try to get a broad experience in the business. So maybe restaurant, retail, wholesale, maybe import.
It's funny how the landscape has changed over the last 15 or so years. I remember graduating college and I graduated and got a job for a very brief time in the more real world, and afterwards decided that the restaurant business was going to be my life and what I really enjoyed. And my mother had to lie to my grandmother to tell her I was still working
as
a statistician for Blue Cross Blue Shield, just because my grandmother would be ashamed that I had wasted my college education and my college years. And now there are ways to make this a respectable adult profession.
Do you think, Chris, that the landscape overall in wine shops, and let's talk about specifically in Jersey, because we know it has in San Francisco and New York, but do you think the landscape has changed? When you go into, are you finding more wine shops that you can go in and find an intelligent young person who really knows what they're talking about? Or when you go to restaurants in Jersey, you find more enthusiasm and knowledge among young people?
I think there is, actually, than earlier on. It seemed to me that it's not where you'd hope it would be.
Right, right.
And I'm not sure why that is. But I think there is more enthusiasm. I think there's more creativity than there used to be. I mean, if you think 10, 15 years ago,
when there was none,
there was none. I mean, there were wine shops carried jug wines, and they were liquor stores.
Yep. Some wine shops still are like that, Chris.
Well, that's true.
Not 56 degrees in Burnsville, New Jersey, however, is that correct?
That's right. And restaurants too. Yep. But I think there are more young people that are finding their way into the business, and that's good. I think.
I think it's fabulous.
Yeah.
I also think that, while New Jersey may not be at the same level because a lot of people who are attracted to this move to New York or San Francisco to sort of ply their trade, as a consumer, I always recommend that people, they ask the person a question, maybe even a question they know the answer to, and you sort of judge, and when someone's full of it and someone really knows what they're talking about. But I congratulate you for doing on the retail end what we hope we're doing on the restaurant end and bringing some professionalism and knowledge to the field.
Great. Well, thank you.
Yeah, Chris, we just want to say thanks very much. And you've been listening to Chris Cree from 56 Degrees on The Restaurant Guys with Mark Pascal and Francis Schott.
And we'll direct some people to your website if you want to find out more about Chris Cree. You can go to restaurantguysradio.com. Central Jersey, 1450 time is 1125.
Hi, you're listening to Mark and Francis, The Restaurant Guys on 1450 AM. WCTC. We were just talking to Chris Cree about restaurant degrees and becoming professionals in this business, which sometimes is is looked on with a little bit of disdain from the masses?
I don't have a degree in wine. I have a college degree, but I'm a professional. And, you know, it's interesting, Mark, you related a story in the last segment about how your grandmother couldn't be told that you were still in the restaurant business.
Opened my own restaurant.
Because your mother was ashamed. Now, you know, I had a similar story, and I remember that when I at the dinner table, I mentioned that we were going to open a restaurant. And let's just say it was met with a deafening silence. You know, I come from a long line of Irish Catholic cops and firemen, so no one had ever gone into business before, and certainly not the restaurant business. And I think, I don't know, you know, this world, especially in the way we do it, and it's not, look, we have a very expensive restaurant, okay, we have a very high-end restaurant, but that's not the only area where you can be professional. I think what's interesting is, even when our restaurant used to be more casual years ago, we were very professional about what we did. In the middle genre of food, we cared about what we did. We deal with small producers, and we provide a unique thing. And, the travel opportunities that we've gotten from buying wine and selling wine and going to source cheese products in Europe.
Well, it is tax deductible.
I know. That's great. You should all open a restaurant. There's more tax deductible travel involved. But, you know, who wouldn't want to do this? I mean, yeah, the hours are crazy. We're a little bit insane.
I think anybody sane wouldn't want to do this,
maybe
is the
you're
answer.
Right. But what I'm saying is that you can do it with a level of professionalism, and that doesn't necessarily mean in an expensive place.
Well, you know, over the years we've gotten to kind of change the way we do things. You know, like you alluded to a minute ago, the restaurant's gotten kind of bigger and better and more expensive and all those things. One of the things I tell every single person who works for me is, I don't care what you're doing. I don't care if you're serving a cheeseburger. I don't care if you're serving, you know, foie gras. It doesn't matter. Always do everything you can to the best of your capabilities. And that's not just in the wine business. It's in everything you do. Whether you're doing a radio show, whether you're doing a statistician for Blue Cross Blue Shield, it doesn't matter.
We should do the radio show a little better, I think.
Yeah, okay. We'll work on that. We'll get better. Well, we promise. We'll do the best we can.
Well, you know, and the thing is, it's what is amazing, I find, in Jersey and all around, I am seeing young people today, and we've had some incredible people that have come to work for us, that still work for us, and some people have worked for us for a number of years. Some have stayed in the business, some have gone on to other businesses. But this is really a place where people hone their skills, they have a real job, and that also goes back to the dining public. I mean, let's face it, you don't have these kind of careers if you don't have a market that's ready to say, oh, what kind of fancy cheese do you have? What kind of small producer do you have? And so that it goes all around.
Very nice finding those restaurant professionals. Well, it's been a nice little segment here. Next, we'll be talking to John Fisher from CIA. Central Jersey 1450 time is 11:30.